All right. Hello, everyone. We're going to talk about prayer for the next 17 weeks. And it's a little odd because, in some ways, why talk about prayer? Just pray. But actually, Christ taught about prayer, and the disciples and apostles taught about prayer. So it's a common thing in the scriptures to see. And also in the Old Testament, you see a lot of praying. Okay, so praying is there in the Bible. And why would it be there if not to instruct us? Remember, all the Word of God is there to instruct us and to help us live our lives for the Lord. So I think it's a good thing to teach about prayer. However, why we're in a circle like this is because it's doesn't lend itself as much as maybe Philippians did for more of a lecture style. And we wanted to have it be more of an investigation, because what we're planning on doing, if you look at your syllabus, which is on one side of your page, okay, I don't have my syllabus. So if you look at the syllabus there, we're going to look at a lot at people's prayers in the Bible. So Old Testament prayers, Paul's prayers, apostles' prayers, Jesus' prayers, Jesus' habits of praying. You know, so it's, we're looking more, and actually that's where most of the instruction is in looking at people's prayers and like the Psalms. I mean, the Psalms is almost all prayers in a sense. And if they're not praying, they're talking about the interaction they're having with God. So it's shot through the Bible. So it somewhat predominates, I would say, looking at prayers. So we're going to look at prayers, and we're going to discover what, I didn't tell Dave I was going to do this, but I'm calling this patterns of prayer. So what are the patterns of prayer that you see in the Bible? What things predominate? What kind of balance is there, you know? Are they always complaining? Are they always praising? Do they praise and complain? You know, that sort of thing. And what kinds of praying is there? But of course, the place to start, if you want to start about prayer, I think, is the Lord's Prayer, the so-called Lord's Prayer. Of course, in some sense, it probably should be called the Believer's Prayer, right? But it's happened to be called the Lord's Prayer over history. So that's the way it is. So we'll just use the word the Lord's Prayer, since it's commonly known. And we're going to look at that today. But first, before I was going to get into that, and the other thing I wanted to say was, we don't want this to be a laboratory where you pray. If you really want to pray, come Thursday morning at 6:50 every week, and we pray. We just sit down, we pray. Take some requests, and we pray. Till 7:30 a.m. 6:50 a.m. Thursday. That's in the lab. Or do it in your house. You know, you don't have to come to our prayer meeting, but we pray for church issues there. And so this is not a replacement. We're actually going to teach about prayer, and we're going to listen to the scripture and try to grow in understanding prayer and be better prayers. More effective prayers. So that's what this is for. However, we wanted to end with a little bit of time of prayer, more than usual. So Dave's going to keep me, and I'm going to keep him, that when that big hand hits 10. Okay, that's it. The axe falls. Okay, so before we get into the Lord's Prayer, so that means we only have 30 minutes from now to cover the Lord's Prayer. But because this was the first time, I thought we should talk about just some maybe common questions that people might have about prayer. And so maybe you have some other questions, but these are the three or four I came up with. Number one here. So what? Again, like I'm trying. I want this class to be more. Let's discover together, than John and Dave lecture you on how to pray. By the way, I have not read. I don't know about Dave, but I have not read any single book all the way through on prayer, ever. But I really do think that personally, a prayer, and particularly corporate prayer, is very valuable. And we've had prayer meetings in this church for years, on and off, and they've been wonderful. And I want to, more than anything, in fact, we're ending, the ending lesson is the joy of prayer. Okay. If you don't get that sense in this class at the end, that prayer is a joy, that it's a blessing to you, it's a comfort to you, it is a strength to you, it is a peace-giving activity, then you haven't gotten it. You know, I've failed. Or you have failed being a good listener, you know, good student. Let's work together on that and stay on that path, because that is the goal of prayer. It's to bring God down to us so that we can be his instruments in the world for peace and love and all good things. And that's the goal. So so the first question, should we expect some advantage, some benefit, if you will, from praying rightly?
Yes.
Yes, we should. Why?
Because we'll draw closer to God when we do.
Right, absolutely. Prayer, she said, it's drawing closer to God when we pray. So that is an advantage, to draw closer to God. Absolutely.
It's like talking to God, having a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes.
And in that, you get to know God better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Also just practicing what we're commanded to do. I mean, we're told to pray. So in that sense, just practicing that.
Right.
In and of itself.
Yeah, but, you know, if I'm a Muslim and I'm commanded to pray, and they do pray a lot, but if it's wrong prayer, you know, and Christians will discover that Jesus gave instances of wrong types of praying and wrong words in praying, you know, wrong kinds of settings and so on, as well as the actual content. So, you know, it's... I pick on Tyler because he knows I like him. So we're asking, is there an advantage to it? Now, what I think some of you are missing what I consider to be the most important advantage. Yes.
I think your prayers will be answered if you pray rightly, and they won't be if you pray wrong.
Right. That was exactly what I was hoping you'd say. Okay, if you look at Matthew 7:11. If then you, being evil, know how to give, Jesus said this, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Because God is good. We can know. In fact, Jesus is intent upon this. This actually happens two times in the Bible. One says good gifts, the other says the Holy Spirit. Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And you have all this stuff, ask and receive, seek and find, knock and the door will be open. But now there is another verse that says, pray according to God's will. Okay, if you pray according, Jesus said, or it's John, 1 John, you ask anything in the name of Jesus, if it's according to his will, you will have what you ask. So praying rightly is a very, very important element of prayer.
That's one of the things we'll talk about. talk about as we continue in the class is looking at especially the teachings of Jesus. Many of his teachings about Jesus are promises of God working on behalf of our prayers. And we know, and that's what we'll learn as we look at this theologically, God works through prayers. That's part of his sovereign design, is that he works to accomplish his will through the prayers of his people. That's part of the means of grace for God's will to be accomplished. So praying rightly is being a part of, you know, by God's mercy, he allows us to be a part of carrying out his will.
Absolutely. We're bringing heaven down to earth. You know, as it says in the Lord's Prayer, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So, yeah, very good. And I'm glad you brought up the issue of promises. How much do you think promises fits into this whole equation? I just read you a promise, right? If you ask any good gift from the Father, he will give it to you. That's a promise. In fact, the Bible is filled with promises. And there, in the old days, we don't do this. I've told Pastor Dave about this. It's sort of a bugaboo of mine. In the old days, they used to have promise books. They were very common. And people would memorize promises of the Bible. They're still around, but they're just not. It's gone out of favor, unfortunately. Okay, how about this question here? How do we know if we have an effective prayer life? Okay, it does relate to...
By the answers to prayer. Jesus said you'll know a tree by its fruit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know something about effectiveness of praying by seeing the fruit of that prayer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, expand on that a little bit. Yeah.
And related to that is how other people are praying for you. If you see God at work, effectiveness of your prayer life, but as well as the prayers of others.
But don't you see that we pray for a lot of things that nothing ever really happens? You know, you pray for somebody to get to meet the Lord. You pray for strength over fear, and you're afraid every time in that same instance, you know, so on and so forth. Don't we see a lot of those kinds of things?
Sure.
We pray for people who are sick, and sometimes they get better, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
I've also heard that when you pray and you don't get the answer you want, that a lot of times it's changing the way you look at the situation, so your will gets changed.
I'm glad you're
so
here.
That could be.
I'm glad you're here. So what is prayer, changing God's or changing us mostly?
It's
us. It's us. We want to get aligned with his will and what he's planning on doing. And when we do that, it changes us. In fact, Pastor Dave talked about this. You know, it really is about us wanting what God wants, ultimately. Us aligning ourselves with what his desires are. And that should be our desires. Desires are not wrong. We just have the wrong desire. You know? And prayer seems to move that desire to the things that God is interested in. Again, the Lord's Prayer, heaven comes down to earth. Okay, so effective prayer life. Well, I think I was pointing to Jamie because he said, you pray as God directs. You pray according to God's will. So you know that you're going to have effective prayer life if you're praying according to God's will. Yeah, it goes back to that verse. If we pray anything, ask for anything in Jesus' name, if it's according to his will, he will do it. Okay? Now, of course, the point is what is his will? That's a challenging question, and I think that's one of the questions that we want to answer. Right, Dave? Good. Okay, so third question. Why do we neglect prayer? Okay, prayer meetings are the least attended meetings of any church.
Because you want it to be private.
Well, okay. Yeah, good point. Yeah? Well, why do we neglect private prayer too? Too busy. Too busy. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. Yes, we need knowledge. Is it what besides knowledge keeps us from praying? Jesus did say it's better to go in the closet than to pray in public and to be seen by men. Right? That's what my mom is talking about.
I'll add to my comment, too busy. With that goes trusting too much in myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, right. I depend on everything's going well, I'm feeling good, my job's going well, my kids are okay, in school, doing well.
And when it isn't, I gotta work on it.
Yeah, I gotta work harder. That's true. Well, that's certainly true of this world. But then sometimes we, as Christians, we'll pray at those times. When the worldly things are going bad. Okay. Now, we're going to look into that. Is that right kind of praying? Yeah. So why do I neglect prayer? Pointing fingers back now. Why do I neglect prayer?
Ties in a little bit with your next question.
Yeah. All right, let's look. Let's look at the next question for a second. If God is sovereign, it means He does exactly what He wishes to do. Why should we pray at all? Yeah, because He said we should. My mom. This is my mom, by the way. Allison Herb Horst. Would you like to teach this class, Mom? Okay. Yeah.
The other thing, John, is that it's when we talk about prayer often, as you're asking these questions, what do you think when we say, why do you neglect prayer? What's the advantage of prayer? In your mind, what are you thinking prayer is? Oftentimes we think it's me asking God to do things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But that's not all prayer is.
Yeah, so
we neglect prayer because it's like neglecting your daughter, neglecting your son, neglecting your spouse. In a relationship, you neglect them because you're self-centered and you don't carry out that relationship as you should.
Right.
So prayer is my relationship with God. And if I'm neglecting prayer, I'm neglecting to grow in that relationship because I'm failing to have that communication with Him.
Well, let's define prayer. Could you agree that prayer is, it's not talking to God, it's communicating with God. It's hearing from Him, talking back to Him, back and forth, to God. It's a relationship, really. It's part of a relationship. Think of a marriage relationship. You know, everybody says, oh, well, what's wrong with your marriage? Well, you know, he just doesn't talk to me. He's never talking. He's always silent. That's a common thing with men. And there's not communication, so there's a problem. It's the same way with God. If we're not communicating with Him, we're not building that relationship. How much more important is it with our Heavenly Father? Well, why do we neglect prayer? How about this? It focuses me on my troubles and so depresses me. Does that ever happen? No? Maybe you're praying more like Dave was saying, you know, always asking for these hard things that may not happen all that much, and that's the only way you pray with God. The only communication you have with God could depress you and keep you away from it, I argue. Too much time in prayer keeps us from meeting real needs. Think that's possible?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
That's just a tricky way of rewording the statement, I'm too busy, and making it sound like it's justified.
Right. I notice that those who don't pray prosper anyway. But that one. Is that a reason why we don't pray?
Psalm 73.
Psalm 73.
Look at their end.
Yeah. Okay. Look at their end. Right, but we don't look at their end. We look at their here and now. what I mean is, like, you know, so you're at the office and you see all these people working with you, some of them more successful than you are, more talented than you are, and you say, and you know that they don't pray. You know, I mean, I've been in my office for 15, 20, 25 years. I know these guys, gals, and many of them don't pray at all. You know? Yet they're prospering. Kids are doing well, they're going to school, you know, making good money, they're getting advanced beyond me, you know, stuff like that.
Where are they storing up their treasures?
Yeah, right. But I'm just saying, we may neglect prayer because we see our neighbors and we say, well, you know, what purpose is prayer? Where's that going to get me? Now, it really does come back to self, doesn't it? You know, because where do I want to get? You're saying the same thing pretty much. Yeah. Where's your treasure? My prayers are too insignificant for God. Heard that one. Okay. Now, I've been taught God is a God of detail. He loves to answer small prayers as well as big prayers as well as medium prayers. Pray all kinds of things. That's the message of the scripture. You agree?
Yes.
Yeah. Just bring it all to him. Everything. Okay, parking spaces is not bad. Now, if you just did parking spaces and, you know, weren't praying for your soul, okay, not good. But I don't have the inner desire to pray. I just don't feel like it. So how many of you here for the Lynn Downing seminar? Okay, a lot of you, good. Now, what was sort of his response to maybe, if I would have said, raised my hand and said, you know, I don't have the inner desire, what would he have said, do you think?
No excuse.
Yeah, anything else? No excuse, I think he would say that, yeah.
A scary thing for you.
Well, as I recall, he was saying on that issue, you know, in the same way that we need faith to be saved, in order to grow, we also need to put ourselves before the Lord. We've just got to, you know, get before the Lord and look at Him.
We need practice in prayer too.
Yeah.
You don't want to go and think, ugh. You got to think it through, like to do anything.
Well, practice, yeah, that's the image of the, do you remember the man that built the house on sand and the man that built the house on the rock? Okay, what was the difference between the two? Jesus said, they both heard God's word, but there was something else different.
Puts into practice.
The one on the rock was put it into practice. I think this is what Lynn Downing would say. Prayer is a work of the Spirit. Totally, totally. It's a grace from God that we are able to pray. Okay? But there's a part that we have to play in that. I think that's what Lynn was saying. There's a part we have to play. Just like in being saved, I have to put my faith in Christ. It's not by works. It's grace through faith. But I'm trusting in Christ. And praying requires an effort. And it's a mysterious thing. It is my theological understanding of this. There's a mystery in our work and God's work. And why you see Jesus say interesting things like, remember people came to Jesus and said, what is the work that I must do to be saved? Okay. And they were probably looking like, you know, like the Muslims, okay. Fast, pray, go to Mecca, and all that. And he says this ironic answer. Well, how many of you remember that? What's the answer?
Believe in him and he accepted.
Believe. Which is not really considered a work. You know? He says, to believe in the one who sent. That's the work of God that you must do. No, anyway, but it's all from God. All of the, even our willing and our doing is the work of the Spirit willing and doing within us. So, okay. Let's get down to the Lord's Prayer now. So, the Lord's Prayer, as far as I know, is the only instance where Christ said, and it's in two parts of Scriptures, in Matthew and Luke. It's the only part of the Scripture where the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? And Jesus said, this is how we should pray. So we're going to start here because of that important thing. But I'm not going to go into the details of the prayer. We're going to more do that when we get into individual prayers. I want us to identify the patterns of prayer in the Lord's Prayer. So what are the types of things that we're talking about, the content, and also our attitude towards God in that particular content, okay? So should we expect, wrong page. Here we go. All right, now let's have somebody read, please. Matthew 6, 9 through 13, who wants to read that? Joe.
Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. We'll only gather here. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.
Okay. So those are the two passages. You notice the Luke passage is a little briefer, but they pretty much have the same basic content. And in the Matthew passage, there's the segment there, for yours is the kingdom, that was added at a later manuscript. And so that's why it has the brackets there. So now consider that Jesus said, pray in this way. And the two versions of the prayer are not exactly the same, and that we don't have an instance of the apostles praying exactly the prayer, this prayer in the book of Acts and the letters. Consider those three things. Okay, the two prayers are different. Jesus said in one of them, pray in this way. He didn't say pray the exact word, you know, pray the exact words. Though the other one says, this is how, when you pray, say. So, in the history of Christendom, basically, we've looked at it as it is a good thing to do in worship, or to actually say the Lord's Prayer verbatim. That's a good thing. But we don't want, there's also the view that the Lord's Prayer is a pattern through which we should learn how to pray certain things that are not exactly the words in the Lord's Prayer. So that's an interesting historical event that has happened in the response to this prayer, and how the Christians have put it into practice. So I'd like us to consider this as a basic pattern of prayer, the Lord's Prayer, in this today's class. So What are some of the types of actual prayers in the Bible? Let's pull ourselves away from the Lord's Prayer. What are some different types of actual prayers in the Bible?
Songs?
Well, songs, yeah. I'm not thinking about sort of how it's accompanied or delivered, but what the content of the words are.
Worship.
Worship.
Lament.
Lament, yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Request.
Request. Request, petitions.
Praise.
Praise. Praise, worship.
Adoration.
Adoration.
We did say confession.
No, I don't think we did. Yeah, so petition is different than confession. You know, can be.
Thank you.
Thanksgiving, yeah.
I'm going to sidetrack this, but some of them in the Old Testament almost seem a little bit conditional. I mean, when they make oaths, but that usually didn't end well for the person who did. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
It's just strange that they would do that.
So. Good point. Yeah. With an oath. Huh. There are also imprecatory prayers. You know what those are?
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few of those. Calling down a curse. Okay, so let's examine this prayer and identify the distinct patterns in the prayer. So what might be the significance of Jesus telling us to say, Our Father?
It starts with faith.
Yeah.
He is your faith.
Call God Father.
Yeah.
Well,
it reveals our faith.
It reminds us of our relationship.
Reminds us of a relationship. And what is that relationship?
We're children.
Okay, certainly. In fact, I just heard the other day that Muslims consider calling God Father to be an anathema. It's revolting, disgusting, evil. Yeah, because they don't see God in that way. And what a blessing! I mean, if you think of, there's a list there in Ephesians 1 that I really like, and all of you probably know. And it says all the blessings that we have in Christ. And one of the blessings is that we've been adopted. Okay. And I don't know how you feel about this, but that is the most precious element of my relationship. I'm glad that I'm redeemed. I'm glad that my sins have been forgiven. But to be adopted, you know, that means, well, you know, with your earthly father, is my father going to forsake me? Never. Am I going to forsake my son? Never. No matter how they behave. No. And that's the way we are. That's natural. And God is that way towards us. Now consider the revolution of what Jesus was saying. Now he also says, Our Father. Our Father.
His too.
Yeah. His too. Well, right. Jesus. It was Jesus' Father. But think of it, our, not my. Or just Father. Now, this is an interesting thing to do. It says that it's corporate, doesn't it? So prayer, my son Palmer really gets on me on this. You know, Americans, we tend to individualize everything. And really, the Bible is much more corporate than us Americans interpret it as. And here's another instance of it. Our Father. Okay, this is why I like corporate prayer, is where two or three are gathered and agree in my name, okay, I'll do what they ask. Two or three. I mean, it's power. Yeah. There's power. Mostly to change me. Yeah.
Again, the weekend of the retreat, Lynn Downey talked about that too. He talked about the idea that the sense of a person coming into faith with Christ and then living a life of just me and God, while church is kind of optional, that that's nowhere in the Bible. That's the way that it's developed historically here in America. But the sense that you get in Scripture is a believer in faith in the body of Christ. Is that's the picture we get of how I grow and develop and live in my relationship with God. It's in the context of the church.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm already at 10 of. And I want to just point out hallowed be your name. Because you guys gave all the types of prayer. And it's most of them are here. Hallowed be your name, that God is holy, set apart. Is praise, worship, and adoration holy? Yes.
I went through the syllabus before class started, put a date by every class.
Yeah.
And I come up one date short.
Oh, because Easter.
Yeah.
We have Easter off.
So I'm just suggesting here on the fly, maybe to continue with the Lord's Prayer next week and bump the syllabus by one class. It's up to you.
We'll see.
I'm just going to
offer. Yeah. Well, I think we know the Lord's Prayer pretty well. It's a familiar prayer to us. So, hallowed be your name. It's praise, worship, and adoration. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Okay, is that confession, petition, thanksgiving? What is that?
It's a petition.
Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Okay, now, in I think the Luke one, it says, forgive us our sins, as we've forgiven those who sinned against us. Okay. So, debts mean sins, basically. So what kind of a prayer is that?
It's praying for our spiritual needs.
Confession. Forgive us our debts. Confession. And do not lead us into temptation, deliver us from evil. Thanksgiving, adoration, petition. What's that one?
Petition.
Petition. I think petition. And what type of prayer is, for yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever? Adoration, surely. If you remember, getting back to Lynn Downing, he recommended this wonderful book by Kenneth Boa. And it follows these day, it goes day by day, and it follows these different patterns of prayer. Okay, affirmation, petition, praise, adoration, petition, confession. And I'm mixing some up there. But then he adds the thing, affirmation, at the end, near the end. Affirmation. Okay. Interesting. I think that's here. The one thing that I see missing is what? In the Lord's Prayer. At least you can't see it explicitly.
Thanksgiving. It really isn't Thanksgiving.
No. In fact, that's another reason why I would say that. Because if you look at the Psalms, you know, come to the Lord with thanksgiving and praise. Praise and thanksgiving is a big theme in the Psalms. And then, of course, we just studied Philippians. You know, and there it says, cast all your cares upon Him. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God.
I see a sense of thanksgiving in your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's a thankfulness that we know what will occur, because your question earlier about how do we deal with people around us who are not Christians, who are making out just fine.
Yep.
And you know how it ends, how the book ends. So you know who wins, you know what's going to be coming, and you're thankful that that is the way it is going to be.
Yep, could be. All right, well,
for even the last phrase more directly, can be seen as thanksgiving. Yours is the kingdom, and that's what you're saying, and the power and the glory, so there's a recognition of
it certainly calls for thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I think this is another indication that Jesus in this prayer didn't want us to make that the absolute, you know, all prayers, all our prayers should be only using these words. That's, I think, a legitimate point, because we see the apostles and the disciples saying all kinds of prayers. And thanksgiving is certainly part of that. So again, back to Kenneth Boas' book, wonderful book. He has a section for thanksgiving there for every day. By the way, I highly recommend that book. I may tweak the powers that be in the church and see, perhaps if you're interested, we can get copies of that book and distribute them. Again, getting back to Lynn Downing, he was really encouraging us that, in fact, what Kenneth Boas says in the introduction to his book is he says, one of the things that we do wrong about prayer is that we want to pray, but we don't have structure. Or we have too much structure, and it's kind of a rote sort of thing. And he was trying to answer this need for having the desire connected to structure, you know, but not too much structure, not too rote. Okay, so like he'll encourage you to.
When he gives you a structure, and then he just kind of says, think about this, or like he'll give you a kind of a focus.
Yes.
To follow up that scripture, then he gives you another scripture for the next area.
Okay, well, I think I'm. What maybe we can do now is, here we've heard the different types of patterns in praying that Jesus is encouraging us to do for the good of our souls and the good of our neighbor and the glory of God. So I thought maybe what we could do is just bow, and somebody could give adoration, and then somebody could give confession and petition or intercession. And so after somebody prays, I'll just call out the next one, and then we can finish with thanksgiving and affirmation. How about that? If you're bold enough, just speak out. I'm not going to pick anybody.
Right, we have these right here. These phrases
are they in
right
there?
Here
okay.
On the notes. Well,
oh, good.
Just the way in which you typed up the notes, you have each of the phrases that Jesus mentioned in his prayer. So as a guide to praying, just briefly, we could just each one.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Take a part of the Lord's Prayer and make that a guide.
Well, let's use the Matthew.
Okay.
So the first part is our Father who is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Praise. Your kingdom come, petition, forgive us our debts, confession, lead us not into temptation, petition, and then affirmation, and then somebody can add thanksgiving. Okay, let's pray. Just somebody brave. Come in when it's the appropriate time.
Father, I want to begin our prayer time together with thanksgiving, thanking you that we could come together to learn from you, to learn from the scripture about how to pray. We thank you for the opportunity to learn from you, Lord Jesus, who gave us this pattern and example of prayer.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you, we adore you, we bow before you, Lord, and to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you for Kendall's safe return from being half a world away, and we ask you to open our hearts and our just a recognition of just the dangers that Christians face in that part of the world. Tyler shared with me that there were Christian teachers there where it's illegal to even be a Christian, and they were killed. People are suffering for your name's sake, and we ask that your kingdom come to this world, and that you strengthen us and make us aware of just what we need to do to help in the spread of that word.
Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us when we don't forgive our debtors. Help us to forgive them freely. And grant us the grace, Lord, to do that. And we ask that you would forgive us for our neglect of prayer, the excuses that we have. The neglect makes us poor. And please help us in this class to open up our eyes to understand what riches, what joy and love and peace we can have through praying. Jesus, we pray. Okay, one more. Lord, thank you for this time in your word. You've called us here to pray. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask, Father, that you would help us to not go there into temptation, and that by the power of your Spirit, you would keep us from following temptation and submitting to it. Let us resist it by the power of your word in us and the Spirit. In Jesus we pray. Amen.